your home and your relationships catching up with the move of God in your home and in your relationship. See how we can travel with God. It was actually an encounter for me,
you know, as
I was just studying my Bible and I saw some things. I was like, Jesus, why now? And you know, I was trying to dig deep, and you know, eventually I was seeing some things and I was like, wow. My prayer for you is that you will not miss God's move. You see, the thing is this. Let none of us think God's move in your life is all about you alone. No. In fact, when God is moving in your life, He moved through the circle of your relationship. Please take note of these things. He moved through the circle of your relationship. You know, God was trying to move in the family of Jacob among the 12 brothers. They didn't understand it was God's move. They didn't understand. God was the one moving. They thought it's about one small brother, our youngest brother. No. It's about God's move. And let me quickly talk to the unmarried first today. While you are praying for the will of God, please yourself become the will of God. Many young men want to marry a godly wife, church going, so to say, who can pray, who can do all the spiritual. An average man, that is what he wanted. A woman who is godly, knowing well that since she is godly, she will be submissive, and then who can do all the spiritual covering while they just enjoy themselves. You understand that kind of a thinking. If you will have what you wish, you have to play your part. How can somebody desire a godly spouse and you want to live freely anyhow? It won't work. Why the godly one is trying to straighten up things, you will be the one to do the scattering. So what you are wishing as a young man or woman, yourself become it. In the course of my study of this catching up with the move of God in any relationship or God-given relationship, so the thought of Mary and Joseph came. Please listen to this and think about it. How God helped Joseph. How he was able to realize that this strange move, it is God. It cannot be explained scientifically. What have you? It cannot be explained. In fact, in the church, such a thing has never happened before. Except those who are in line and in tune with the will of God, then they will remember, oh, it has been written. Whatever has been written concerning you and concerning the move of God in your life, in your family, may you not be ignorant of it. Come on, say louder, amen. Some things will happen. It will take the knowledge of what has been written, which you know, to save you, not to react. And that knowledge will help you. You yourself, you will not be able to know, why didn't I react? So the angel came visiting Joseph and told him, that pregnancy is only child. I am the one involved. He was able to hear God about what God is doing in the life of Mary. He was able to hear God very clearly. And the Bible says, immediately he woke up as the angel has commanded him. So he went, took Mary together with him. That was how they settled in marriage. So as a young man, young woman, please give yourself to God. It is for your profit. Before you step into marriage, it is for your profit. Did you find out that? Did you read your Bible? Okay, let me show us. Matthew. Go to Matthew. I think Matthew chapter 1. So Joseph, verse 24, Joseph being raised up from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her first son, and he called his name Jesus. He fathered the child, that he was not the father. And the Bible says, he knew her not. If you read that, he knew her not. In other words, no intercourse. Who does that? As a man. You know, issue of sex is alone to scatter the home. But by understanding, something must have told him, even though the angel did not say, and you must not touch her. Or is that in the Bible? And he knew her not. Something within him must have said, until she gave birth. No intercourse. How was he able to do all this? Because he was able to be, he was in tune with God. Now, let me show you this about Mary and Joseph and that family, and then I delve into other parts of this teaching. Now, at the end of the day, after the child was born, because both of them, Mary and Joseph, they were able to know what God is doing in their life. Joseph, as the man, was able to know the move of God in my family has come through Mary. Are you with me? And he aligned in his own part to take responsibility as the father of that child. The Bible says, after Mary gave birth, Joseph named him. He named him. It wasn't Mary that named Joseph. It was Joseph. I mean, it wasn't Mary that named Jesus. It was Joseph that named him as the father. Even though he was not the biological father. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, after that birth, if we get to the next chapter, then the wise men came. And they came with treasure. So how does Joseph become rich? By aligning with the move of God. Recognizing that it was God moving through Mary. Are you following what I'm saying? Treasure came. Treasure to a carpenter. Treasure came. Treasure. So let every young people listen to this. Whatever you want to see in your spouse, in your future marriage, become it. Begin to sow the seed and you will harvest the fruit. Say louder, amen. Judges now. Let's go to Judges chapter 13. I'm going to read a bit of that part of the scripture. Judges 13. From verse 1, I read probably to verse 11 or thereabout. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistine 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. Please follow me. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from his womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine. Now, before we read on, let me quickly show you something there. Let me show something. The angel said, now it's time for you to give birth. You are going to have a child. It's going to be a Nazarite. But if you will not hinder what God wants to do in that child, or through that child, the child that must be a Nazarite, then it begins with you. How? The angel said, look at verse 3, it was announced to her, you will conceive, you will bear a son. Verse 4, can you please switch off this for me? It's disturbing me. Verse 4, now therefore I pray you now. God is saying, I'm bringing you a child, but you now, you will not drink wine, nor strong drink, or eat any unclean thing. For that child that will be conceived, verse 5, being a Nazarite must not be polluted. Look at me. Whatever you want to see in your family, whether you are married or single, like I've earlier said, is up to you to sow the seed. As a mother, there is a way your lifestyle can pollute the life of your children. Write it down if you are writing. There is a way your life can pollute the life of your children. can hinder the plan of God in the life of your children. Your attitude, your character can actually pollute the life of the seed that will come out of you. Now, God is, and the angel is announcing about the child to Mrs. Manua. But the angel is equally telling her, beware of your lifestyle. It will affect the child that will be born. And that is what God is saying to all of us today. Let's beware of the way we live. It will affect our prayers. It will affect our seed, our efforts, our family life. We should not just assume because we are Christian, we come to church, we read Bible. If we are not Bible practitioners, then we are going to miss the move of God in your life. I mean, our lives. Again, whenever God's people miss God's move, then God's people are left chances. Let's go to verse 6. Let's begin to get into what God has for us. Then the woman came, told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible, but I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. I saw him, but I didn't ask him question. But he said unto me everything about the child. So verse 8, the Manua entreated the Lord and said, oh my God, oh my Lord, let the man of God which thou seest come again unto us. Please take note the word unto us. It was the wife that told him a man of God came. Oh, now he's like a man of God, oh, but I didn't ask of his name, I didn't ask where he came from. So Manua prayed, send again unto us the man that you sent, God, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Listen, meaning that this is a family, a Christian family. Very clear, right? The man could pray to God. The woman have an encounter. Not the man. Please follow me. The woman had an encounter. The man I saw is a man of God, though. His look was terrible. So I cannot dare asking him questions. Like Manuel said, don't worry, I know what to do. Went to pray to God. The woman didn't pray to God. Did she pray here? But this is a Christian home. But it was the woman who had the encounter. So the man prayed. Don't worry, I will pray. So the man prayed. Can you begin to see collaboration? So the man prayed. After the man prayed, verse 9, and God hearkened to the voice of Manuel, and the angel of God came again unto the woman. But the man said, send unto us. Verse 8. So God answered the prayer of Manuel, and the angel of God came again unto us. Is he unto us? Unto the woman. Is the man praying? Is the woman that is getting the answer? Did you hear me? The man is the one praying. The woman is the one getting the answer. Can I pray for you? May you understand your place in every of your relationship. Come on, say louder, amen. This is number one way of not missing the move of God. The best of every one of us, or the best of each of us, is not the best of all of us. No. We are only, each of us is only good at certain things. The man is the one praying. The woman is the one God is visiting. Please know your place in every of your relationship, including your marriage, including your home, church, organization. And don't overestimate yourself or underestimate yourself. So the woman, as she sat in the field, the angel again came. But Mr. Manuel, her husband, was not with her. May you always be with your spouse. I hope you can understand that. It's not a distance, though. It's about connection. Connection. That even when you are distance apart, you are connected. Let me run. And the woman made haste. Why can she? How did she able to make haste? Because they are together. She made haste, ran, she her husband, and said unto him, behold, the man has come, oh, he has come. Verse 11. And Manoah arose. Look at this one. Manoah arose, went after his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, art thou the man that spake unto the woman? He said, I am. Manoah, despite all his prayer, his ability to pray, he didn't know the man. The man did not come to say, I am the man. Are you with me? It was the woman God went to. So it was the woman who went to man and said, he has come, oh, he has come, oh. God have answered our prayer. He has come. And the man was humble enough to say, if I will recognize the man, let me follow my wife who recognized the man. Am I making sense unto you? May pride not rob you of the move of God. The Bible says, and went after his wife and came to the man. That is the way God wants to reach him. He came to the man only when he went after his wife. Let's move. And Manoah said, let your word come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? Verse 13, verse 14. Look at this, what the angel said. Angel said unto him. Now, he also wants encounter. So angel said unto him, well, of all I said to the woman, let her be aware. And in verse 14, it concluded by saying, all that I commanded her, let her observe. There was no repetition of whatever God has told the woman to the man. Oftentimes, we want God to speak again and again. Listen, he doesn't speak like that. God have spoken once, twice. Me, I have understanding. And I'm humble enough to know twice I heard. How can you hear twice what God has spoken once? One, hear through the one who have heard God. Then you will be able to hear God from the one who have heard God. Am I making sense to you at all? What shall we do to the child that is coming? We believe, oh, what shall we do? God said, well, of all I've spoken to the woman. Yeah. I'm not going to waste my time repeating myself. And you know the whole story. At the end of the day, the boy came. They were able to know how to handle the boy. But you also know the end of this, the life of the boy, Samson now. That when he came, word have gone ahead of him. This is the way you are going to live. And he ought to have listened to his parents, right? But in chapter 14, he said, no. I've seen a woman. Marry her for me. She pleased me well. Even when they are asking him, can't you see all the beautiful ladies in Israel? He said, no. You know the end of the story. Please know your part in the move of God. Because God's move in your life is not just about you. It involves the circle of your relationship. God is going to reach you through your circle of your relationship. Now, before I tidy up with 3 points, let's compare all this move with the move of God in the family of Abraham. Of course, these two families, they have similar challenge. Fruit of the womb. But you will see a slight difference with the move of God in the family of Abraham and the family of Manoah. Now, in the family of Manoah, it was Manoah that will pray. The woman get the encounter. But in the family of Abraham, it's like Abraham was the one that God was speaking through all through. Check it. There was no time God spoke to Sarah. Go and check your Bible. There was no time, the Bible says, and God called unto Sarah and said, Sarah, Sarah, Sarah. How many times did I call you? All of the calling of God to Sarah was through the husband. And it's as if the role of Sarah is that as God move my husband, God move me, I follow him. Genesis chapter 12. Immediately the man heard God. Let's see the word of God. Genesis 12. Immediately Abraham heard God. Verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. Now there you will think, it's just all about Lot. But you will understand better in verse 5 what the Bible means by it. And Abraham departed. In Abraham's departure is Sarah. So verse 5 says, and Abraham took Sarai, his wife. So when the Bible says, and Abraham departed, it is with the wife. And there was no argument. Even when they go to a particular place, say Egypt, and Abraham was saying, once we get there, you are my sister. No argument. Even if that is very, very dangerous for the life of Sarah, yet no struggle. When you move forward, chapter 13, verse 1, Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had. And when you look at it like that, in every journey of Abraham, it is just Abraham and God. And whatever Sarah now see or being told by her husband, she just move. She just move. All of the promises of God for children, there was no time God spoke to Sarah. No time. No time. Even when they host God, you remember? They had this big party. Three men hurt a whole cow. It was the man who said, you have come to me for this purpose. And he only instructed Sarah and the servant. And they follow. And after the eating, then they ask, where is Sarah? They didn't say, call Sarah. Where is Sarah? She was only hearing the conversation behind the door. No argument. No interference. And that was the case in the life of the family, in the family of Sarah and Abraham. The only time and the only problem they had It was when Sarah decided to overtake Abraham. Let me show you. Is it verse 16 now? Chapter 16. Look at chapter 16, Genesis verse 1. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, bear him no child. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar, and said unto Abraham, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. That's it. She brought a subjection contrary to the will of God. The man listened and they missed it. But each time they got it right, it was as Abraham hear God, share with the wife follow, they keep moving forward. Let me summarize now. 3 points. If you and I, we will keep catching up with the move of God in our homes, in our relationships, number one, there is need for unity of purpose. Scripture says, can two work together except there is agreement? There must be a unity of purpose. We are in this together. This is what we are doing. This is what we are living for. This is what we are trusting God for. No assumption. Even in your marriage, what have you come together for? What is your mission? Please don't mistake marriage to be all about we just bear children and we just give them good education. What is your definition of good education? We want to give them good life. What is the definition of good life? I took my son to barber shop yesterday. And somebody saw me the way I carried him, the way I did to him. And, you know, the fellow saw love between father and son. And he said, Kai, I wish I'm like him. This somebody, a married person like myself. He said, I wish I'm like him. And I have a father who can shower me love like this. Listen, I'm not just trying. And I look at it. I said, he doesn't understand what I'm doing. You don't understand. Whatever I'm doing has a purpose. Has a purpose. Not because he cannot walk by himself. In fact, I find out that the only time myself and my son have to be together without the sister is when I want to take him out to have his hair cut. And I notice that he cherish that now. I find out that he cherish it. Initially, he used to struggle. But now, once I say, son, let's go and have your hair cut, he will leave everything. Ready to walk. Even though the walking is like I'm dragging him, or he's the one dragging me. But you see, I am passing something deliberate. At times, I must confess, it's not something easy. I'm not walking at my pace. At times, are you the one dragging me, or who is dragging one another here? But there is something deliberate being sold. So in your relationship, you must ensure there is unity of purpose. There is togetherness. Number two, discover and deploy. Discovery and deployment of each party's strength for collective blessing. Discovery and deployment of each party's strength for collective blessing. Did you get that? In other words, each of us have strengths, and all the parties involved, whether in marriage or in any relationship, must understand that each of us has our unique strength, and we must discover it, then we deploy our strength. Like in the game, take for example football now, not that the guy that is playing 11 cannot play 7, am I correct? But you see, you realize that if we are going to win here, this is my role. I must just keep running around the field and trying to be the champion. Otherwise, we will all lose. So in your marriage, in your relationship, in your organization, wherever you find yourself, discover what is your strength. Then deploy it. Then when you know the strength of others, let there be no room for competition. No, why must he be the one? Why must he be the one? No. Even if it is your husband that people can hear his name, be delighted to stay behind the scene. Are you getting me? And if it is your wife that is taking the lead, what's the name of this man now? The husband of Mr. Lapidot. The husband of what's her name? Deborah. You remember his name? Mr. Lapidot. Quiet name. The wife was like the president of the country. The man is Mr. Nobody. Nobody knows him. We will just hear of the wife, and then the Bible says, whose husband is Lapidot? Yet, there is no chaos in that family. There is no struggle. Listen, if it pleases God, your wife is the one God bless. Take that blessing as the blessing of God for your family. Anyone among your children, train your children this way. Let there be no room for competition. Whoever God raised among us, God raised all of us. Whether me as the husband, whether you as my wife, God have chosen to bless us. If I pray and God decided to answer through my wife, so be it. After all, I'm not God. After all, if I pray to God, God do this, God do this, I won't tell God, God, and this is the way you must choose. Abi, can you tell God, God, this is my prayer, this is my prayer. I'm praying for financial help. My uncle, who is in Canada, touch his heart to send me dollars. You know, most of the time, that is where we actually miss God. Because while you are praying, in your mind, you're already thinking, God, in the name of Jesus, this help, I am praying, God, 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 God. In your mind, you are not saying it out, but in your mind, you know actually the person you are seeing is not even God. So that's why David will say, I will look up unto the hills. From whence comes my help? Is that my help will come from God? So you can only pray to God. You can't choose the way for God. No. You cannot choose the way of God for him. You cannot. So if we are not going to miss the move of God, if we are continually going to catch up with his glory, then find out your strength, find out the strength of others, find out your place, find out the place of others, and let each party play their role for our collective blessing. If you hear this, say amen. Finally, humility is required to serve the purpose of the relationship. Humility is required to serve the purpose of our God-given relationship. Whatever relationship God has given to you, if you are going to deploy your strength for your blessing and the blessing of all, humility plays an important role. Why the man is the head of the woman as Christ is the head of the church? Yes, that's scripture. But you know what? None of either the man or the woman is superior. None of either the man or the woman is superior. The man is the head, yes, but none of them is superior. The understanding we must have in our relationship is teamwork. It's because teamwork makes the dream work. That's it. But where you see somebody trying to override everybody, then there will be reactions. Philippians chapter 2, let me close us there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Okay, you can see from verse 1, he said, if there be therefore any consolation, supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowel and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Please take note of that. Like-minded, having the same love. Did you get that? Being of one accord, of one mind. It takes humility. And he said, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And he went on and on, bringing Jesus into the picture, how he humbled himself, and so on and so forth. None of us is superior, even though there is hierarchy. Are you getting me? The hierarchy is only there for functioning. Not necessarily for superiority. Not necessarily for superiority. I'm the head, I'm this. No, not necessarily for that. Even God, Christ, the head of the church, is not harassing us, is he? He said in the book of Revelation, I stand at the door, I knock. If anyone is willing, open the door. He said, I will come in. He doesn't harass us. So is there anything you are trying to pass across to your teammates, your wife, your children, your colleague, people at workplace, and it's as if they are not getting it? Please keep knocking. Stay at the door, keep knocking. Don't force the door. Don't force the door in. These are another challenge in marriages. You know, the man wants to prove I'm the head. So don't break the heart, even if you are the head. Don't break it. Take your time. If Jesus, the head of the church, will keep knocking for the church to open, right? Let the husband, the head of the woman, keep knocking. And trust God to get you the heart of your wife. Don't force anything. It won't work, person. Amen. It won't work forcing. The same thing from wife to the husband. Don't force him. It won't work forcing. Just keep knocking. Commit his heart or her heart to God. And that is why it's important to marry a child of God, so that God can reach him quickly. God can reach her quickly. So as I close, it's important we'll understand the move of God this way. If when God visits us, we won't miss his divine visitation. We must, number one, be in unity of purpose. Number two, what's number 2 point, please? Discovery and what? And deployment of our individual strength. Is that correct? For collective blessing. Did you get our point? And finally, humility is required to serve in that relationship, to play your part. Please stand to your feet. Did you gain wisdom today? Did you gain wisdom? God always move. I want you to know that. God always move. God always come when we pray. But where the challenge is that when God chose his way to answer us, oftentimes we don't like that way. So we continue to pray, so that probably God can change it. And God will have said, okay, well, I've answered you. It's up to you to accept my way that I've chosen to answer you. Can you commit your heart to the Lord today and say, Father, I receive humility to journey with you. Humility to keep catching up with your glory, with your move in my life, with your move in all my relationship. Please go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray.